Oops. One. Oh.
Whoops. Here we go.
So, can I ask you a question? I've got to do some stuff before then. Oh, okay. Starts. This is all signed in. You're going to sign in, Robert? Okay.
So how's Vodka making business?
It's occupying all my time today.
Yeah, I do have them. I didn't think you'd give them up. You never have.
Oh, sure.
It's so hot. I just figured here's an extra one for you.
Cool.
Extra one. It's so hot.
Thank you, Sharon.
I think that's
Ken Moore, Sue Richardson's online.
I think that's from the left, which systems. Tara Mitchell.
I don't know who that is.
She's a lady that's asking for the boundary change.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're a mentor.
I guess that's how you do it.
Well, hello.
Hello.
It's 7:02, and I guess it's time to begin.
Sharon's just finishing plugging in two things, and then we're good to go.
Great.
Ken, did you want to share? You look like you're up and around. Did you want to go ahead and share tonight?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I just got back from the emergency room, and they gave me three shots of drugs and a Valium.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I had a pinched nerve in my hip and makes getting around really hard.
Ouch.
So, I'm not in much shape to wrangle this thing. So, I've asked Shay to. He said he would. So,
Sure.
I'll just do my best to keep up from here on. And Shay, if you would take it, please. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's go ahead if we have everybody with us. So I guess we'll start with roll call.
Hodgkin's here.
Corrigan here.
Moore here.
I couldn't hear Sue.
Some here.
Oh, there she is. All right, so I guess, Walt, if we're going to get right into the meat of it, do we jump in there? Do you have a staff report? Or
Yes, I do. And let me, there we go. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, real good. If you want me to, I could run into the staff report. Pretty straightforward. What we have is an application for a property boundary adjustment. Tara Mitchell is the applicant, and she's part of this discussion. The applicant is requesting approval of an adjustment to combine two pieces of property. Both of them are located on East 2nd Street. These are two separate tax lots. She wishes to combine the two into one parcel of 10,600 square feet. Normally, this is a staff level review. This is a very simple application, staff level review. But in this particular case, because the adjustments of any one of the parcels exceeds 10%, we have to bring it in front of the Planning Commission and process as a partition. So again, I want to make a clear distinction. She's not dividing land. She's taken two tax lots, combining them into one piece of property. It's just the code requires us to look at the partition findings when making this decision. So section 1116 covers the basis for lot line adjustments. Subsection 010 talks about the purpose. You can do a lot line adjustment to adjust the boundary, or you can use it to combine properties. That is now allowed under state law. Subsection 020 talks about submittal requirements. Applicant submitted all the necessary information. And under 030 is the review criteria. Under item A, it talks about the adjustment cannot create a parcel, and that's not the case here. The applicant is combining two tax lots into one piece of property. Under item B, after the adjustment, all the parcels need to meet the various dimension requirements. As noted in the staff report, the minimum lot size is certainly met. All the depth and width requirements are met. In fact, this adjustment actually creates a much larger lot for the existing residents. Under item C, the adjustment does not result in a setback violation. That is certainly not the case. In fact, the setback, side yard setback on the west side actually increases. And D, request cannot reorient the lot lines in any unusual manner. Again, we're combining properties, so the general layout still is retained. Now, what made it interesting, and again, the reason for the hearing before the Planning Commission, property boundary adjustments resulting in alterations exceeding 10% of the total area of any affected parcel shall require a review under the partitioning requirements. In this case, the smaller of the two parcels is effectively eliminated, and that's 100% adjustment. And the larger parcel is increased by about 25%. So that is the reason we are before the Planning Commission. The particular criteria are found in section 11.12.50 And there's just three items we need to look at. Item A, each parcel shall meet the access requirements. There's certainly at least, I measured about 70 feet of frontage when only 25 feet is required. So it certainly meets that requirement. Under item B, the parcel needs to meet all the dimension requirements of the zone. And that was previously reviewed. Not only does it meet, but it exceeds all those requirements. And finally, item C, adequate facilities shall be available to serve the property. There is already a pre-existing house on there. The street is improved and the site is fully serviced. Finally, under the last item is under 050, there is certain requirements that need to be met to complete the property boundary adjustment. These are simply standards that the applicant has to comply with, and these do not provide any additional criteria. Again, it's unusual we bring this before the Planning Commission, but due to the change in the boundary, we are required to do so. But based on the findings, the information provided by the applicant, staff certainly recommends Planning Commission approve this request, subject to the findings and conditions noted in the staff report.
Thanks, Walt. Does anybody have questions or concerns? I mean, everybody read through this. Is anybody concerned with this? Maybe we could get a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
And that was Ken seconding?
Ken seconding.
Okay.
And we should have a vote. Yes. To approve, aye.
Aye.
More, aye.
Aye. All eyes, so it is approved.
Yes, motion passes.
Passes.
Okay. And just for the record, I will prepare an order and notice of decision, and we'll get that to the city either tomorrow or Friday. Okay?
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, sir.
So now we would move on to a continuance of public hearing for the electronic message center signs.
Okay.
Go ahead, Walt.
All right. This is what? It started out somewhere in January, March, April. Okay, this is the fifth time. I certainly hope it's the charm on this. I'm almost tempted to say, are there any problems with what I've proposed? But let's go through it so we can make sure everyone's on the same page here. Sharon, could you just move down to the discussion part? That first part just kind of gets us where we're at right now. Okay, under item A, as you can see, these were, I think, summarized all the issues that we had. You know, talking about hours of operation, illumination, how do we review these things, ODOT review. They're looking at, obviously, the fire district sign was one that started this thing off. And I think what really moved us to forward to this meeting was item number 11, and that's the Central Business District. It's the core commercial area of the city. Yet these signs are prohibited. So electronic message sign is not allowed in the downtown, which is the core business zone. So with this in mind, I went back to the drawing board and I kept a number of things and I revised a few things, but I also added something. So what is before your adoption is the language in attachment A. And so let's start going through the material. The first thing I'm suggesting we do is include a definition for electronic message center. That's one thing we didn't have. I think it's highly appropriate to include that. At least we have a basis of understanding of what we're talking about. The second change moves us down to the Central Business District. Current language talks about these signs are prohibited. I would strike that language out. Sharon, that would be under B2.
You're in attachment A?
You can go either way. That'll be fine. Yep. Attachment A will be fine. Okay, here we go. Item number two. Under, in fact, thank you. I think this is a little cleaner. Under item two, Central Business District Overlay will be amended. Under item E, it says electronic message signs. That portion is stricken, and there's a new section called G, and it goes electronic message center signs. These signs shall be subject to provisions in the code, and also shall require approval of a sign variance based on some new language I am proposing. So in other words, if you're downtown, like everyone else, there would be a conditional use, but there's an extra layer of variance. So in other words, this is not a gimme, if you will, but if you can show that there's a sort of need that, you know, try to create an equal setting, there's at least an opportunity. Right now, these are prohibited downtown through the variance process. They would at least might be allowed. So that was the one change. Also, right after that, it says the current item G simply relabeled H, and that's just to keep things in the right order. Under item, the following item, item three there, that talks about the reader boards. I have kept that language. I think everyone was in agreement, at least at two meetings, that keep that language in place. Under item four, that is the core of the electronic message center sign regulations. Essentially, I kept things fairly consistent with what we've talked about. But under item L1, it emphasizes that a conditional use is required. Now, bear in mind with the conditional use, there is a notice area of 300 feet. So that will certainly inform the public of any public hearing. And also with the Central Business District, again, it's mentioned earlier, but it's emphasized here, that they need to get a sign variance to install it. So again, it's really a combined application, conditional use and sign variance if you're looking at putting one of these downtown. Under item two, location size and display, I basically kept everything the same. I think the numbers are reasonable. I think the commission has looked at that and find it reasonable. I think that was a good way of going. You're already getting an advantage with a kind of a programmable changing sign, and there's automatically a slight reduction. The only other thing I changed, if you look under the zoning column, I included general commercial C3 and I included public facility overlay. You have a couple of areas in town that are zone residential, but have a PF overlay for the school. Under the next items, calculation, static message, and alternating message, those basically were left the same. I did a little wordsmithing, I think cleaned up a little grammar, but I left those the same. I think those were some very good standards and seem to be consistent with the way other areas do it. Under item 6, 7, and 8, it talks about controlling the illumination. My concern was, if unless you have training and the right equipment, it's going to be very difficult to determine whether or not the sign is complying with the illumination limitations. What we have here, though, is that as part of the building permit process, basically you try to simplify enforcement. When you come in for a building permit for one of these signs, after you go through the land use approval, you have to show that the sign complies with these requirements, that it can be controlled electronically, and also the display can turn off if there is a malfunction. And they have to provide the documentation that shows that these standards will be met. This is, let's see, Yamhill does the build, the county does the building, they have the proper inspectors that can do this, but I added one additional line that says, failure for the EMC sign to continually comply with these provisions shall be considered a violation and subject to enforcement. I just wanted to emphasize to anyone who's putting up this type of sign, these are the limitations the city is willing to live with, but you have to be sure that the equipment can comply. You have to show that it will comply. And beyond that, you will be, you know, it's a violation if it doesn't. Finally, okay, two more, I think number 9 and 10, pretty straightforward. 9 hours of operation. I made a little change on this one. Public related buildings would not have a limitation. I'm thinking schools, police station, but static and alternating EMC signs shall be limited to the business hours of operation unless alternative hours are approved by the Planning Commission as part of the conditional use permit. This gives the Planning Commission a bit of control in reflecting, I would say, the neighbor concerns that may crop up. So in other words, you can squeeze the hours a little bit, maybe add the hours a little bit, maybe limit days or whatever. That, you know, I can't think of every situation here, but if issues are raised with the public about the lights, this is an opportunity. The Planning Commission has specific authority to kind of limit how long these signs operate. And finally, state highway requirements. If you're on a state highway, you got to show that ODOT is going to approve the sign. Finally, this is a new section. It's called sign variance. I'd like to kind of read this a little closer. Any allowance for signs not following the standards set forth in these regulations shall be by variance. Variances to this chapter shall be processed according to the variance procedures in chapter 10.10. And I just noticed looking at it, and I'm pointing to my screen, but instead of, it says 16.64, it's really 10.64. So that is an error on my part. You process this as you would a variance under chapter 10.100. However, these, I think what, there's 5 items here. These 5 items cover the actual decision criteria. You got to show there's unique circumstances. You got to show that the variance is necessary to compensate for circumstances unique to the property. And bear in mind, the sign variance already applies to the downtown businesses wanting to put up a message sign, but can also apply to any sign within the city, whether it's a message sign or not. There is a specific provision for folks to go back and say, instead of maybe a 20-foot sign, I need 25 feet. And here is a method, a methodology, if you will, to accommodate that, that's specifically designed to address the issues of signage. Item C, the granting of the variance will not decrease safety. That's a typical public health and safety. Under D, there's no special advertising advantage. For example, a franchise can't come in and say, well, our signs are A and we can't do anything else. I have history on that, and I know that's not the case. Understand what we're trying to do is maintain a level playing field that no one gets a particular advantage, but maybe a variance is needed to compensate for a disadvantage. And finally, the variance request is not the result of a self-imposed condition. So this is the core of what I'm suggesting we adopt. I want to emphasize again that these signs will require conditional use. It's a public hearing before the Planning Commission. You have quite a bit of discretion in terms of looking at these. And don't forget, and again, there is public notice of the hearing. And for the downtown businesses, I respect the fact that there is interest both ways to allow them, but also understand you may want to maintain the unique character of the downtown. There is at least a variance request, an opportunity for a business owner to come in and look at an opportunity for this type of sign. One final issue, and that is the fire district. And my view on this is I didn't write anything specific to allow that sign. If so directed by the council, the Planning Commission can certainly do that or proceed with that. However, the fire district certainly has an option through the variance process to allow the sign. I'm not saying this gives them a free pass. Please don't misunderstand me on that. But I think at least provides an opportunity for the city to address that unique issue. One final note, I previously reviewed the findings with regard to the code back in March. Nothing's really changed in terms of the language obviously has changed, but there's no reason to change the findings. I'll just simply note for the record that based on my review of those findings again, these changes would comply with our development code. And I want to thank you for your patience, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
We have any questions for Walt?
So will the fire sign be able to get the lumens down enough to meet the nighttime thing? Because I understand there's just a night and a day.
Right. What they would need to do, and this is the way I'm looking at it, what they would need to do is come in and apply for the conditional use. And that would be part of the process. They would also apply for a variance because the sign exceeds the requirements here. I don't want to go into specific findings, but at least this provides an avenue. And in the review by the Planning Commission, you could say you will have to meet these requirements. And so it gives the commission that authority, but it also, I think, provides a process here. So that was the only way I could come up with some way to balance those two.
You have anything for Walt? No. Ken, how are you feeling about it, Ken?
I think that we've raised all the right questions, and Walt's come back with some answers. And I'd like to just touch base again on the hours of operation, how that worked out, Walt.
Well, I figured the hours of operation, there were two ways of looking at it. I would think you would probably want to have a little, provide some discretion to public facilities, fire district, police station, maybe city hall. I mean, I'm thinking, don't want to bring this subject up, but things like water emergencies, heat shelters, things like that that might be very important, public information, and I think that's critical. However, when it comes to the hours of operation, you have discretion, and I wrote it in here that, yeah, you can have it during business hours, but the commission can also listen to the neighbors or affected folks and alter those hours to address individual concerns. So it's not a, what is it, carte blanche to keep them on all the time. You have discretion based on findings and information to put some constraints on how long these signs operate during the day.
Well, great. That was one of the loose ends that we handed you last time. I may have missed it. Can you go down the other concerns that we left the other meeting, our last meeting with?
I think the only other one that we had, it was, how do we allow these within the central business district? And my approach was, in fact, that was the last big thing that came up. My, beside contacting ODOT, that's obviously in there, but going ahead with the central business district, I figured going through the variance, in fact, I think someone even suggested that, and that's why I put the sign variance in there. So that doesn't mean that they can't, that also doesn't mean that they can, but at least there's a process in which the electronic message center sign may be installed downtown. But they, again, have to go through that extra step. And that was, I think, the other, you know, based on the May meeting, I think that was the thing here. Definition, cover reader board. We have a process under item 8 to at least address, potentially address the fire district, 7 ODOT review. We've covered, we have them locations we've already discussed. We have a public hearing process. Someone said go up to 400 feet, understand conditional use is 300 feet. That gets a lot of folks in there. We talked about a land use review, which I'm suggesting. We have illumination thresholds. And in this way, we don't have to worry about separation to a residential zone per se, because they have to come in for a conditional use anyway. And then the other thing had to do with the limit hours of operation. I think we've pretty much addressed that, as I said, maybe not to the nth degree, but I think there's enough authorization given to the Planning Commission to account for the location of the signs and how it may or may not affect residents, to look at hours of operation and to enforce through the building permit process the illumination eliminations. So I'm fairly comfortable with that.
Oh, that's great. Well, I am curious to see if Sue and Shay surveyed businesses.
Yeah, so we did. We went to a lot of the downtown businesses. We did not make it to absolutely everybody, but a lot. The overwhelming consensus is that it should be left up to the business owner whether or not they want to have a sign, which I understand and respect. That would be the opinion of a business owner. Couple people that had mentioned that they think that that would not be a good idea to have electronic message board because it would sort of distract from the historic nature of downtown Yamhill. But really nobody that was, you know, completely for it or opposed to it overall.
And again, that variance process puts a little, I think, layer of protection on the downtown, and I think maybe a reasonable way to address those concerns about aesthetics.
Oh, that's great. I like all of that. The one outstanding thing I'd like you to explain to me maybe well is, say the fire district wanted to get their sign approved, and so we say, yeah, okay, and you're going to do the hours of operation, right? And they say, yep. And then we go, okay, then you're in. And there's more to it than that, but now how do we allow for that in language so that nobody else can use the fire sign as a precedent for getting something similar?
Two things. One, I think there's a definite recognition that installation of the sign ignited this whole thing. So I think that's going to be fresh in everyone's mind. I think the other thing, it's going to be, at least in my way of thinking, it's going to be truly unique circumstances that force the issue to increase the sign area. That's just my thinking at this juncture. But I think based on the history of the installation of the sign and the several meetings we've looked at, I think the Planning Commission will carry a lot of history going forward that they're going to be suspect for future requests. That's just kind of my thinking. Again, every case is unique, and I think we have to approach it that way. Just because you approve one variance doesn't mean you approve a second one. So we have to look at the uniqueness of the situation. But overall, I think with those two factors, I think the Planning Commission is going to be very careful. At least that's my gut reaction.
All right. Well, so there is a path forward for us to allow this grant a permit or have it fit within our requirements.
Yes.
Except obviously the size, and go forward without a problem of having set a precedent.
That is correct. Absolutely. And just like any variance you may look at, you know, it's unique to the circumstance. Not because you grant one, you grant another. In fact, if you're granting a whole bunch of them under similar circumstances, you probably really need to rethink about your code. But that's a separate discussion from here. Again, with regard to the sign, it will be a unique situation for anyone applying for a sign variance.
Well, thank you. I'm now think that I'm satisfied with our work. I just want to make a thank you to Sue and Shay for going beyond the usual and doing that survey and bringing us back the information. I think what we have is going to dovetail nicely with what they heard. And I'd also like to commend everybody for hanging in here and continuing to let it matter and not say, gee, we've been spending all this time on this thing and I don't really care anyway. And does it really matter? And, you know, we've kind of tamped down our human nature and we stayed in and kept digging. And I think we've got a great ordinance. I thank you.
No, I really appreciate the hard work the commission has done. And every meeting, it was just a couple of steps forward, maybe a half step back, but kept moving forward. And I certainly hope this works out.
Well, thanks for all your work and all the rewrites there, Walt. So I just have one question for you here on the Planning Commission action.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've just read over, that would be the amendments to Attachment A, is that correct?
Right, exactly. What you have in your packet is in Attachment A, and you would recommend, I'm guessing where you're going with this, but if you wish to recommend council approval, you would recommend city council approval of the proposed amendments found in Attachment A, and again, adopting findings contained in the March 7 staff report, which, as I noted, covers all the bases, and every change here will comply.
So does it, Sue, John, did anybody have anything else on this, or do you think we might actually be ready to vote on this thing?
Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Me too.
I'd like an opportunity to comment.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
My name is Robert Davis. I represent Yamhill Neighborhood Association. I want to personally thank Walt for all his hard work. He really did in the last, since the last Planning Commission meeting and the last City Council meeting, picked up on all the things that YNA was putting down in the previous months. And I won't go into all that, but Walt, you did a great job capturing it all. I think you really hit the nail on the head. And as far as YNA is concerned, we certainly agree and would approve the Planning Commission making a vote to make this permanent.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, with that, I think maybe we should have a motion to recommend the approval and modified amendments to Attachment A, if that was the direction we were going.
Actually, it would be Item A1, recommend council approval of the amendments in Attachment A. There were no modifications made during my presentation or discussion.
So the proposed amendments. Okay.
Yes, sir.
In A. So yeah, that's what we should be looking for a motion for.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic, Lynn.
Did you just motion then?
I've been here for about a half hour, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I shouldn't have been late, but I would like to make that motion.
Fantastic. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Fantastic. So let's have a vote on the recommendation.
Aye.
Corrigan, aye.
Moore, aye.
Carl, aye.
And Sue and Ken went at the same
time. And they both said aye,
I think. Yeah. And what was the motion made under the list of options?
To approve the proposed amendments in Attachment A.
So that's
recommend the City Council approves that.
So number one.
I believe that to be the case.
Okay. Correct.
Did we just figure something out on signs? Wow.
Geez, it only took 4.5 months.
4.5 months. I think November, it's 2 years. Yeah. But yeah, all right, man, that's really good news. So with that done, we move on to public comment. Does anybody have any public comments? Anybody online have a public hand up or anything? Amazing. What about commissioners? Do we have anything that we want to bring up? Any new business?
Yes, I do.
Sue.
Shay is the one that did most of the work on approaching business owners, but the few that I talked to, and I know that he got the same response, is that they would like to see some kind of thought put into there being a plan for downtown that will not allow the Dollar Generals or the Arcos of the world to come in and change the face of the city of Yamhill forever. We would like to see some kind of a plan put into place, and I don't know how that would happen, if it would be getting the downtown association, the neighborhoods, I mean, whoever, but to come up with some kind of a thought and plan to preserve the historical look of the city of Yamhill.
That's true. There were several people that were on the our survey that had mentioned that they would like to see something like that exist. However, that said, those same people were very, very concerned that it should not be taken too far. Carlton was mentioned several times with the rules that go along with building or remodeling a building in Carlton being very, very specific and difficult. I think the overall view of the people that I spoke with was that they would like to see Yamhill remain a turn of last century rural farm town look. Yet if Walt wanted to buy a business or a building downtown and remodel it, he would be allowed to have a lot of freedoms as long as it fell into sort of a very broadly stroked, this is what downtown Yamhill looks like. So you wouldn't have a three-story brass and glass office building going up right next to the T&E. Wouldn't fit in too well with the Berkshire Hathaway building, maybe, you know.
Well, there are ways to do that without being so specific. You just limit exterior finishes. I don't know all the details of what you have downtown, but I'm sure it's mainly wooden, lopsided, or brick, and also restrict the use of primary colors. In other words, you know, no bright orange buildings or bright yellow buildings. And you keep the muted colors and the common exterior without necessarily creating a design review board, which I think a lot of people would chaff at. My thought.
Sure. One of the things that was brought up was the idea of the potential for a new gas station going into town as well, that a very modern looking, although we do have the Shell station on the outside of town, but in the business district itself, a brand new modern, whether I don't know if it'd be a Arco or a Shell or whatever would be, but if there was some language that we could put in that would kind of, you know, like the City of Sisters has some very modern gas stations that look like they've been there for 100 years. Is there a way to do that easily, Will?
I'm just going to, you know, I'm sort of shooting from the hip here. I'd say there probably is a way, but how that would be done, I would have to put a little thought into that. Because when you get into new structures, it's a little bit different. I think it's possible. I'll just say I think it's possible and kind of leave it at that. A little pondering. In my younger years, I'd say no problem. Now I'm going, let me think about that.
Fair enough.
I will say because when the folks bought the property, the lot across the street here from here, I know I was told their intent was to do a gas station with a little convenience store. There was rumor whether they were Dollar General or whatever, but Amity put the Dollar General on in, and it's down the street from their things. And from what I hear from the people that of Amity is they really like it. So, I mean, where do we draw the line and what do we say? I mean, we definitely need business within the town. We need to develop. It's a shame that we just have a blank lot sitting there and we have another one across the street here. So on both sides, with no businesses, which we need to get businesses brought to Yamhill. And I've heard quite a few people say that is, you know, we're just gonna die on, you know, the vine with no growth. You know, we've added some of the community as far as housing, but nothing for our downtown businesses. There hasn't been any additional.
So Shay, I'd like to make a recommendation. I've been approached several times in the last month by builders, people who really want to bring a business in the area. And the question they keep asking me is, what's a good fit for Yamhill? And that is such an open-ended question that I think maybe the Planning Commission needs to do some sort of a study. I don't know how you would do it, but the outcome needs to be what the city of Yamhill needs as far as a business goes, because the questions I keep getting asked is, well, you've had a coffee shop, that didn't work. You've had a bakery, that didn't work. You've had other businesses and in and out of, gone in and went out of business here in town. And the only businesses that seem to make even a little headway are restaurants. Three restaurants in town right now. I don't know how well they're doing. Obviously, the newest one might be doing not as well as they thought because they are closed on Mondays now. So with that said, I don't know what a good fit for Yamhill would be with builders asking, what does Yamhill need? I can't answer that question.
Right.
So maybe. Well,
I'm not sure that would actually even be a Planning Commission item, would it, Walt? Sure. Do a study of how businesses should look like?
Well, actually, you're sort of getting into economic development here. And that's something the Planning Commission can certainly take a lead on. And there's nothing wrong with, say, selecting a meeting where we don't have anything on the agenda and just have a general discussion. You know, what's the history of commercial development downtown? What's worked in the past? What has failed in the past? Where do we see some marketing trends going? You know, people always enjoy a nice town. I know I don't mean to bring up Carlton, but, you know, obviously they've kind of stepped up their game by focusing on wineries and that sort of thing. And so, you know, it's something that probably a discussion to start off, where have we been? Where are we now? And some ideas where we'd like to go. Then we could start maybe looking at, maybe we can get a grant. There are potentials for, you know, sometimes councils of governments, sometimes, dare I say, even some of the schools, OSU or PSU, might have a business program, you know, a small business program that could help out. There might be some avenues to explore. I think it always starts with a good community conversation, identifying the issue, kind of some sort of parameters where they'd like to go, and reach out to folks that have some expertise in this matter, and that might be a real good start. Just a thought.
Well, and then as far as putting more things onto our agenda, one of the things that was brought up to me recently was the fact that we're currently there for the Airbnbs and so forth, there is no tax paid to the city. And that is something that we should maybe be looking at changing.
Well, one of the things that would be under short-term rentals. Yeah. There's a number of cities that have short-term rental provisions too. I work with Manzanita and Nehalem, have them in their land use code.
So I'm not sure what that would look like as far as what Yamhill should be looking at in that aspect.
Yeah, it gets a little difficult. Some of these can be land use, some of these can be general municipal code requirements as opposed to specifically land use. I think part of the issue is, you know, do you have events where you have drawing a lot of people? If you only have a handful of places that are being rented, you know, it takes some time and effort. And again, how much time and effort do you want to put in? How much are you willing to enforce? You know, it's always, you know, don't make a rule that you're not willing to enforce. And so that's just a thought. Look at your staffing capabilities, and you know, it's, you know, you have a very thin but efficient staff. What you have, can they take additional work? I'm not trying to be negative on this. There's a lot of moving parts to this. But again, that's something you could look at, because you can get sort of the equivalent of a room and meals tax. This might be a real nice place for a downtown hotel that ties into the winery area. You know, things like that, and maybe a outside economist with some sort of special understanding of small communities might help him. But again, kind of start with something that the community can kind of generally agree on would be a good start.
Okay. Well, I think we have some ideas for moving forward. Maybe we think about those between now and the next meeting. And
I think so.
Chairman Moore's back up to speed. We'll have him lead us in launching on some of those.
That sounds great.
If that is good with everybody, I mean, I can't believe it's not even 8 o'clock, but am I making a move to adjourn?
Oh, one topic. I happened to bump into an article about how Yamhill caucuses for their leadership, and I saw a name on there I was very disappointed to see.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think Shay is, he's obviously used this committee as a stepping stone for his political career, and am I assuming this, Shay, that you'll be leaving us?
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I was nominated by the mayor at caucus. They had a vote. I won that vote. So I'm on the city ticket, but my planning commission does expire January 1st.
So, all right. Well, with that in mind, the city went out and got some great candidates that are now on the board. I guess that's kind of what they do, or how's that going to work to replace Shay? I guess I'm taking that to maybe Sharon.
It would come before council, and they would direct staff to go ahead and advertise that there's going to be a vacancy. And then we would take applications, and then they appoint somebody to the planning commission.
Well, that's great. I think we've kind of stepped up our game. We might even have a little cool factor now on the commission, because we're doing stuff and people that we've got interesting things to be doing. So I hope that brings in some more, dedicated public servant kind of people. And we won't replace Shay, but we can try.
Well, I got to win first.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, if that was not to happen, I really enjoyed my time on the planning commission. And I would, you know, if the council didn't work, then I would love to stay on for another term. I've enjoyed this thoroughly. If for some reason I am to win, I think it would be helpful for the community to have somebody that has been as involved with planning than on council, because sometimes I feel like we don't have a direct tie to them. Maybe we could accomplish more.
Here.
That's just sort of where I was thinking about it.
Well said.
All right. Well, we'll enter a period of championing our champion and mourning the prospect of him winning.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. But again, even with that, we're still before 8 o'clock. This is just blowing me away.
You have 2 minutes.
I've got next planning commission meeting on August 17th.
August 17th, does that sound good for it? Is anybody not okay with August 17th?
Yeah, I will miss that one. Going to see the grandkids in New Jersey. So from the 12th to the 22nd, I'm gone.
Would you like that we change that to accommodate Kim or?
Well, do we have anything on the agenda for the 17th?
Other than the things we brought up to sort of maybe kick around and move on with, I think that we're cleared.
Okay.
If something does come up, I'm happy to do it by Zoom, but it sounds like I won't be missing anything anyway. I do much prefer to be there in person.
Oh, sure.
Wanted to keep the meeting in August, or?
Well, I don't know, Kim. With nothing on the agenda, do we want to keep the meeting in August to maybe discuss some of those items that we just touched on today, or do you think that we could see if something comes up and schedule one then? Or,
well, I think it's a good idea to carry forward. If we're going to be the kind of the planning commission that we've started out to be, with really being proactive. Yeah, meeting next week to kind of learn more, you know, learn more from Walt about what's available to ensuring the a planning plan. I think would be a good idea.
So you're for that, keeping the meeting in August on the 17th.
Yeah, and I'll come in by Zoom.
Beautiful. Well,
that'd be great.
Okay. Beautiful. Anything else at all, Sharon? Anybody? Move to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
You got a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Meeting's adjourned. Ken, I'm going to use your deal. Done.
Thank you.
Hey, have a great evening, folks.
5 seconds to go. Thanks again, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Your brother, Ken. This is Ken's slip that you gave me there.
Okay. Is that a cat or a dog, Sue? A cat.
That's
right?
A cat.
Yeah.
That's a cat. That's sassy.
Good night, everyone. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Record pace. What's that?
Record pace.